Amen. You may be seated. Hey, welcome back from fall break. Here we are. How was it? Okay? Okay. Mixed emotions. Hey, I got to tell you, I had the best fall break. In fact, the best fall break I've ever had in the last 7 years. You know why? I had none of my kids home for fall break. It was awesome. It really was. My two oldest sons who have graduated from Hope, they're working. No fall break for them. Emily, my daughter who's a senior here, student teaching, no fall break for her. It was awesome. It was awesome. Now, hey, I love my kids. I do. But fall break was stressful for me. I mean, they'd come home into my house again. They'd bring their dirty laundry. They'd throw their crap all over my house. They would bring their friends over who would eat my food, who would sit in my favorite chair. And they'd stay up late till 3 o'clock and sleep in till 2 o'clock. You do it. It was a great fall break. Great fall break. Hey, but I'll tell you, fall break was always a stressful point for Melody and I. And it was usually at the end of fall break that I would reach kind of a level that I would have to call a family meeting together. And we would have to review what I called house rules. What was appropriate and what was inappropriate as they moved back into my house. And we had to get certain clarity on that so we could all kind of do life together in a healthy way. Well, you know what? It is the first chapel back from fall break, and I thought this would be a great time for us to do a little review of house rules of weekly chapel. Now, that means what's appropriate in chapel on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and what's not appropriate. Now, there's the no-brainers. You guys know this. Of course, during chapel services, you shouldn't be talking on your cell phones. You shouldn't be studying during chapel. You shouldn't be sleeping in chapel. You shouldn't be carrying on long, extended conversations with your neighbor during chapel. Those are no-brainers. Those are inappropriate. But there seems to be something that's kind of gray right now in our chapels. An issue that's kind of gray. Is it appropriate? Is it not appropriate? And the issue is people leaving early during the chapel service. Now, I'm not talking a minute early or 2 minutes early. I mean, I've seen over the last couple weeks, people are leaving like 10, 15 minutes early during the chapel service. Like they're leaving at 10:45. There is no class that starts before 11 o'clock. That's 15 minutes. Now, I know some of you are saying, "Oh, Boris, but I got a professor, and the professor's a real stingy about being to class on time." I get that. Professors have the right to do that, and we want you to be to your classes on time. But I think some of us are feeling a little too anxious about getting to class in time. So here's what I did over my fall break. I did a little experiment, the Boersma walking test, okay? Now, here is what I did. And Shakara, are you here? Shakara saw me walking around. What are you doing, Boers? The Boersma walking test. Okay, I stood at the outdoor, one of the outdoors of Dimnit Chapel, and I walked to every academic building except Graves. I didn't count Graves. If you can't get to Graves on time, you're a loser. Okay. So, hey, stay with me. So, you can see the fastest place to walk is the Science Center. Took 30 seconds. Now, I didn't walk fast, didn't walk slow. Medium walk, okay? The farthest place to go, DeVos Fieldhouse, takes 6 minutes. Now listen to me. I'm gonna be generous to you right now. 6 minutes to get there from here to DeVos. I'm gonna give you a minute to get out of chapel. It's kind of crowded sometimes. Now you're up to 7 minutes. I'm gonna give you another minute till you get to DeVos and you gotta walk upstairs. It takes now 8 minutes. That is the maximum time it takes for you to get to anywhere of the academic buildings at Hope College. Do you got it now? Now let's do the math. Chapel is from 10:30 to 10:52. If you put the 8 minutes on time, you'll be there. Okay? So let's not leave early. Okay, but let me say one more thing. Some of you are saying, but Boris, sometimes I want to get there early because I got a test, I want to sharpen my pencil, get in the right, you know, seat and everything. Cool. If that's the case, will you please sit near the back? Just for that day. You won't be with your boyfriend or girlfriend, but just for that day, if you know ahead of time, will you sit near the back and would you exit out the back so you're not getting up in the middle of Dimnit and walking straight down the middle aisle, distracting the rest of the community? Fair? Fair. Let's do it. We're in this together. Let me say one more thing. The obligation is on us as campus ministry staff as well, too. We have to be committed to have you out of here at 10:52. And if we don't, you have the permission to walk. Deal? So we're in this together. House rules. Thanks for listening. Hey, today we're going to have a story from the Gospel of Mark that has a story of house rules where four men, they break a house rule. They dig through the roof of a house to present their paralytic friend to Jesus. Jay Ledley is going to read our scripture today from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Open up those pew Bibles. Come on. Get on your little smartphones. It's on page 813. Mark, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Jay Ledley, Hope graduate, is now a senior at, you can give him a little loving. Yep. Senior at Western Theological Seminary, doing great work with campus ministries, especially in the area of Greek life. Just led a fall break mission, not a mission trip, fall break Greek men's trip to West Virginia. Are there some of those brothers here today? Got a couple. All right, way to go. So anyway, Jay, read the word to us today.
All right. Hear the word of the Lord from Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. When he returned to Capernaum, after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many gathered around that there was no longer room for them, not even in front of the door, and he was speaking the word to them. Then some people came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this fellow speak in this way? It is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" At once, Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were discussing these questions among themselves, and he said to them, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up and take your mat and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go home." And he stood up and immediately took the mat and went out before all of them, so that they all were amazed and glorify God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thanks, Jay. All right, I'm looking at my clock. I have 4 minutes, and we're going to be faithful to those 4 minutes, so stick with me. We're going to go fast. We're going to unpack something very important in this text here. Put your finger on verse 10 right now if you got your Bible. Don't ever shut the Bible and put it back in after the reading. Put it on verse 10. All right. Let me read it. I'm going to keep cruising fast here. This is Jesus speaking, but so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Authority. The Greek word for authority here is ekousios. Ekousios. And it carries the idea of both right and might, meaning the person who has this authority has been given the authority, and they have the right to the authority, and they also have the power to back it up. Now, Mark uses that word, ekousios, three times in the opening pages of his gospel. The first time is in Mark 1:22, when Jesus is teaching, and the people were astonished at the authority he had to preach and teach the word. The second time Mark uses it is in Mark 1:27, when Jesus has authority to cast the demon out of the man. Here's the third time Mark uses it, right here in chapter 2, verse 10. Jesus has the authority to actually physically heal the man, but also to forgive the man's sins. Mark is hammering this theme of authority of Jesus over and over again, and he'll continue that throughout his gospel. Moving into chapter 5, when Jesus has authority to raise Jairus' daughter from the dead. Chapter 6, Jesus has the authority to calm the winds and the sea. He has the authority over nature. Until the end of the gospel, where Jesus, through his death and resurrection, has the authority now over the kingdom of darkness and over the devil. Why does Mark continue to hammer this theme of authority throughout his gospel? Here's the reason. The reason is this, and this is the most important thing, because there's only one person who has the authority over all these things, the unseen world, the seen world, the natural, the spiritual. There's only one person who has that authority, the Messiah, God's Son. Mark wants to make it very clear, crystal clear, that nobody misses it, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. John the Baptist announced it. God the Father confirmed it at baptism. The demons of hell bore testimony to it when Jesus cast the demon out. And now Jesus in this text here acknowledges it himself. Now go to that verse, verse 10. This is so cool, you'll love it. Jesus is talking to the scribes. Now, the scribes are the religious experts. They knew the scriptures backwards and forwards, memorized it. Jesus says to them, "But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Now, that word Son of Man and authority, that was code to an Old Testament prophecy from Daniel. If you got a little marker here, write down Daniel 7, verses 13 and 14, because in there, in the prophecy, Daniel refers to the Son of Man, the Messiah, who will have authority. Mark is making it clear, Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. He has narrowed it down. Whoever you think Jesus may be, a moral teacher, a good person, a prophet, Mark says those aren't choices. There's only two choices you can make with Jesus. He either is who he said he is, the Son of God, the Messiah, or he's not. Jesus narrows it down quickly. We only have two options. And here it is. It's 10:52. So here's the close. All of us here at one time or another have to answer that question. It's either Jesus is who he said he is, the Son of God, the Messiah, or he's not. And to ignore that question, to blow it off, is really already answering it. So I know there are some of us here today, good brothers and sisters, who are wrestling with that question right now. And I say wrestle with it, because there's nowhere in Scripture that Jesus rebukes an honest seeker. So know this. Jesus wants to take all your questions and your thoughts, bring them to Jesus, and to see if he really is who he says he is. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, go in peace.